side of that decision and that conviction or confession. Thanks for joining us here today on Viewpoint. It's tough stuff, tough talk for troubled times, but it is indeed the truth, and it's the truth alone that will make us free and keep us free. Would you seriously consider becoming a partner with us? This is very tough business. Send your gifts by faith to Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia 23255. God bless you. Be a blessing. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem and for our own country, will you?
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of...
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of John Quirk, who spent many years working with the CIA. He's retired. He runs a business tracking down funds that have been embezzled or stolen or certainly taken away from people and tracking down where those funds are all over the world. He's back and forth between the United States and Europe frequently. In fact, I understand he's going to be going back over into that area probably within the next couple of days. But I asked John to come on and give us his impression of the possibility of a war in the Middle East between Iran and Israel. Is it, will America be involved in this conflict? What will the conflict involve? Certainly, will it be a minor affair? Will it be a major affair? Could it expand into a third world war? What part is the Muslim Brotherhood going to play? With the Muslim Brotherhood is certainly consolidating the Sunni nations. And of course, that is Turkey and Lebanon. That is in the Egypt and Tunisia, Libya, Syria, and of course there's already problems in Yemen and Dubai, and all of the Sunni nations certainly are on the brink of being taken over, on the verge of being taken over by the Muslim Brotherhood. And what about the relationship then between the Muslim Brotherhood, which is Sunni, and certainly the Shia Muslim nations? I believe that we live in a very uncertain and potentially violent world. And remember, ladies and gentlemen, if you believe in the scriptures, as I do, and you read descriptions of the latter days, why, you don't see any mention of America. You do see a reference to Babylon the Great, which the harlot is to be destroyed, and the merchants of the world will certainly weep, and the sea captains will see its destruction. And the Babylon they're talking about then is not in Iraq, and the Babylon they're talking about is not in the Vatican, because neither are those on the seashore. So what city, the great city, the center of commerce, could they possibly be talking about? Well, John, I want you to pick up the story and give us your impression. What's happening geopolitically, certainly in Europe and certainly in other parts of the world?
Well, Stan, there's a lot of actually new news, new intelligence, and it's not very good. You know, when we talk about the United States and Israel possibly preparing to attack Iran's nuclear research facilities, what's happened is we've basically stimulated Iran into accelerating not just their defensive moves, but their offensive moves. And we have some recent intelligence which does not bode well, I think, for the whole region. You know, one of the things that we've looked at over the last couple of years is economic sanctions that Mr. Obama has increased. They're not really working. Nobody really seems to be in agreement that they could possibly work. The other part of that is that a lot of his secret negotiations with Iran, which aren't so secret, they're basically, Mr. Obama offered the Iranians the following. We would recognize them as a regional power in the Middle East. We would give them their oil technology that they need from the United States. We would unfreeze all of their assets. We hold something like over $1 trillion between the West in banking havens and in the United States. And what the Iranians have done, and we sometimes always focus on U.S. foreign policy, what our foreign policy is, and as I've told you before, that our foreign policy seems to be, we went into Iraq, which is a stepping stone to Iran.
Hold that thought, John. We'll be right back.
Okay.
John, go right ahead.
Well, we've said that Iraq is a stepping stone to Iran. Iran is the stepping stone to all the oil in Central Asia, Tajikistan, Uzbekistan, that Russia and China vows for. The recent activities that the United States has done, and where Israel is putting a lot of pressure on Mr. Obama, it's not working too much, saying that the Iranians will have nuclear bombs in about 6 months. What that's propelled the Iranians to do is kind of expose what their goals are. And we've only learned this lately, although some people have projected it. Iran has two goals in the area: to expand its influence and take advantage of the Arab Spring through developing a Shia arc from Iraq to Iran to Lebanon and the Gulf areas. That's their main foreign policy goal. The second part of that, or a separate part of it, is to push the United States out of the area, to completely push us out of the Gulf, out of Central Asia. And China and Russia support that. They don't want the United States involved in Central Asia where all the oil is. These former Russian republics, Tajikistan, Uzbekistan, Kyrgyzstan, Kazakhstan, Turkmenistan, have been cozying up to the United States. Russia doesn't like that. Remember, they're former Russian republics. And the Chinese, who their ultimate foreign policy is to push the United States out of the Pacific, is helping with Iran, with Russia, to develop a strategy to really take down the United States and the Gulf. And let me explain how they plan to do this. And we've given them too much time. Israel is right about our lackadaisical attitude in negotiating with Iran over, it's kind of, we're penny wise and pound foolish. We went into negotiations with Iran with the best intentions of trying to solve the problem diplomatically. Okay, we would recognize Iran as a major player. They're the regional player anyway. We would try to make friends because they're Persians. Even though they're Muslims, they're Persians. They're not Arabs. And our labyrinthian strategies of trying to use Iran as a foil to Arab jihadism has backfired. What the Iranians are doing is taking great advantage of the Arab Spring to push their own foreign policy. And let me tell you what the situation is now.
I want you to hold that thought for just a moment here, and we'll get that in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and John is simply pointing out that certainly we went into Iraq, certainly having nothing to do with weapons of mass destruction. We went into Iraq because it was a corning stone to going into Iran and bringing pressure against Iran. Iran certainly is the dominant force in that part of the world, and of course, just beyond Iran, of course, are Uzbekistan and Kyrgyzstan and Turkmenistan countries, that great center of oil. This is all about oil, tremendous deposits of oil in Iran and the adjacent countries. And those countries, of course, are trying to draw closer to the United States, their former suddenly Soviet satellites. And the Soviets don't like the fact that that part of the world is drawing closer to the United States. They want them drawn to Russia. So we have a real conflict, a potential conflict in this area. And of course, the big thing that we have to recognize is that Iran has a goal. What they want is the Shia Crescent, going from Iran to Iraq down into Syria, all the way over to Lebanon. They are Shia Muslims. They're not Arabs, though, and certainly they Turkey would do everything they can to exploit the Arab Spring, but of course to their own advantage. Well, basically, of course, Iran wants to push the United States out of that area, as do the Russians and the Chinese. They don't want America over there dominating that part of the world, and certainly then, of course, creating a counter to the influence of both Russia and China in that part of the world. They figure America, if they want to have influence in South America, fine, but they don't want certainly America dominating the area immediately adjacent to them and controlling that oil, which, of course, traditionally had been theirs. So pick up the story there, John. You were beginning to tell us about the policies.
Well, what I wrote an article about 6 years ago on for Real Clear Politics on Iran's defensive moves. It's about 5 or 6 years now. Since that time, the Iranians have not only built up their defensive strategies, they're now involved in major offensive strategies. And let me tell you what this basically means. From a defensive standpoint, when I wrote this article, I said what the Iranians might do, but they were extremely weak. Today, they're very strong. They have Russia behind them, and they have China behind them, and they have Venezuela behind them. The Venezuelans are shipping weapons-grade uranium, and we believe they've shipped a number of mini-submarines. And let me tell you a little bit about what Iran's arsenal is today compared to 5 years ago when Bush was threatening to go in and support Israel. Today, the Iranians have very sophisticated land-based cruise missiles. A lot of the technology is from North Korea and Russia. They're very sophisticated. Of course, they have their militias, which are not only terrorist and militia groups based in Iraq, Bahrain, Lebanon, the Gulf areas, and Gaza Strip. The most disturbing thing that we found out in the last few weeks is they have plans with their Mahdi army to do a number of covert operations against the United States in Bahrain, Qatar, Kuwait, United Arab Republics.
John, are you there? Well, I hope we haven't lost John. But John, are you there? Well, I think that because we're going to have to find out what happened, and maybe I'm going to ask our producer to call him back again. So I'm going to cut him off, and we'll call him back and hope we can get him on. But ladies and gentlemen, of course, you have to understand that nothing is as it appears to be. Everybody has forgotten how the mullahs came to take power in Iran. And we put them in power in 1977. Basically, the background was that in 1953, there was a democratically elected regime under Mossadegh in Iran, and we actually financed the mullahs. We got them to overthrow the democratically elected government, and we put the Shah in place. And the Shah was very tolerant of the mullahs, but of course he was a dictator. So we cultivated the mullahs. We actually cultivated the Ayatollah Khomeini. We put him up in palatial splendor there in Paris, where he lived under CIA auspices until 1979. When we, of course, got the mullahs to rise up against the Shah, and then we brought the Ayatollah Khomeini, and we used to go, let's get to, so we're basically, apparently John Quirk is on his cell phone, I don't know what's going on, he went to a voice, apparently he's going to be back here in just a moment, hopefully, but anyway, of course, I believe that we have our representatives there in key positions in the Iranian government. Can I prove that? No. But I can prove, certainly, that we had our people in key positions in the Nazi government, and we were working with the Nazis all during World War II. And certainly, Alan Dulles, who was our representative to Switzerland at the time, was working closely with Himmler and other Nazis. But we're talking about 1943. And if you haven't read, certainly, John Loftus's book, America's Nazi Secret, you need to get it. You need to hear our four-tape set of interviews with John Loftus. It's called The War Against the Jews. In fact, it's probably well worthwhile reading his first book, which is The Secret War Against the Jews. Of course, he wrote that, but he was limited for bringing out a lot of facts by, of course, the classified nature of the information he knew. But there were people within the Justice Department who'd known John, and certainly they contacted him about 2 years ago and said, John, the statute of limitations has been lifted on all that information you have on the funding of the Nazis. Why don't you rewrite your book? And that's why the book America's Nazi Secret is so important. None of the major publishers would carry it, but a friend of ours published this book for him. It's done really very, very well. And it's available from Radio Liberty. And, of course, if we would certainly be working with the Nazis during World War II, we know that we were working with the communists all during the Vietnam War and funding the Soviets, we're funding the North Vietnamese, we're funding the Viet Cong, we're killing our boys. How do we look upon what's going on today? Well, we have John back on the line. Hi, John. Go ahead. Pick up the story.
Hi. Yeah, well, what I was saying is we have recent intelligence about Iran's offensive moves, which are as follows. They've increased their intelligence operations in the Gulf area against our officers and our military. As you know, we probably have tremendous assets all over, both intelligence. We have the Navy's Fifth Fleet in Bahrain, which the Iranians are planning to target if there's military conflict. We have an air base. We have Marines. We have a number of different bases in Syria, rather in Saudi Arabia. And this is what they have. They have these militias, which are basically terrorist groups. They've got this Mahdi group, very trained intelligence officers by the Russians. And the Russians are really very aggressive. They have a lot to lose if they lose their base in Syria and Syria falls. They have a lot to lose if Iran falls. They ship a lot of things to avoid the economic sanctions that the United States has put in. The Iranians have, as I mentioned, very sophisticated land-based missiles. They've given thousands of rockets to Hezbollah, the Islamic Jihad in Gaza, and to Hamas, thousands of them. So they're ready. And in addition, they now have 20 to 50 mini submarines that can hide on the seafloor, and their avowed purpose is to sink our carriers. We now have three carriers in the area. Two more are being refitted, and two more are on the way. A lot of people don't know that.
But, John, my understanding is that certainly about a year, year and a half ago, we had some war games over there pretending that America was at war with Iran. And when the war games were over, America had lost. We'd lost 16 ships, including a carrier, and it was a great victory for Iran. Is this possible that if we got into a war with Iran, that we could lose a significant part of our ships, especially with those new submarines? They didn't even take those into consideration when they were doing the war claims a year or so ago.
That's right. They have three kinds of Navy attacks. They have these super fast, they're called Hoot torpedoes, that are supersonic. They're faster than any torpedo in the American Navy. They've got these mini subs, and they've got patrol boats. Now, the Navy has said we would sink their Navy, but we're talking about a point-counterpoint war here. We're talking about a multifaceted war where the Mahdi Army would use intelligence, would use terrorism, rockets out of Hezbollah and Hamas. They would initially attack the Navy, and we're getting more and more information that Iran may be planning a preemptive strike based on what Israel is saying. And Iran came out the other day and said we don't care if Israel attacks us alone. We are going to attack America because we believe they're behind it. They're quite delusional, okay? And a lot of the threats that we've been giving them, economic sanctions, has made them very aggressive. They're not like Iraq. They're also a warrior nation like the United States. So we're facing external through militias. We now also believe that they have a lot of civilian ships off the coast of California and the Atlantic that have poison gas. There's more and more intelligence coming in every day. And even though the Navy said they can sink their Navy, we can destroy their Air Force, I don't know how we would be able to stop their Army and the Revolutionary Guards from attacking into Saudi Arabia, attacking into Iraq, and then using amphibious forces to possibly land and attack our bases in Bahrain, Kuwait, and so on. So,
what about possibly launching some attacks from the ships or tankers on the American homeland? What about an EMP attack? Do you think that they may have an electromagnetic pulse that they might certainly be able to actually attack America and do some damage here? Hold on, we'll be back in just a moment with John Quirk. Many years in intelligence. John, you go right ahead.
Well, Iran has been expanding both its defensive and offensive capabilities. But what's happened over the last couple months, they're expanding what we call their counterstrike possibilities. And it's multifaceted. It's not just an army, a navy, and an air force. It's terrorist groups. It's militias. It's help from Russia. It's possibly attacking into Afghanistan and Syria. They are ready. They have no intention, and I don't know why the Obama administration doesn't get it. They have no intention of letting any more inspectors in. They have no intentions of declaring that all they're doing is for peaceful moves. And Israel has said that if Iran does have a bomb-making capability in 6 months, it's going to attack within somewhere, we guess, between September 15th and January 15th. And Mr. Obama and Mrs. Clinton have refused to set a red line for Iran's nuclear programs. They figure that could trigger a military attack, but I think Iran is planning some kind of preemptive strike anyway. They've got super fast torpedoes, mini submarines, missiles, and a large army. They have hundreds of fast attack boats, even though our Navy could take them out. Getting to your point, they could do tremendous damage to our ships and our Navy in the port of Bahrain, as well as our carriers, which are now with helicopters and drones sweeping the place of mines. So we're moving closer to war because the balance of power is starting to shift. Iran is getting to be a fully offensive warrior nation. They're no longer on the defense. And from a morale and intelligence standpoint, I'm not talking about people now, they're ready. They're ready to take on Israel. They actually believe they can damage the United States and Israel if we sue for peace. It'll cause the United States, with all the trouble we have in the other Arab nations, to back out. That American public opinion, just like in the Vietnam War, cannot sustain large amounts of casualties. And that's what Iran wants to deliver, and that's what Russia and China are advising them to do.
Well, basically, why are there mines in the Persian Gulf? I mean, I've noticed, and I've certainly read about the fact we're sweeping the mines up, but why, certainly in a non-war situation, would Iran have mines over there? I mean, this is an act of war to have mines in an area where ships go.
Yeah, the areas where they're putting the mines that we're closing is in the Gulf of Oman, which is a very narrow area, and along their coast, it goes up from almost to Turkey, past the Caspian Sea, almost to on the other side of it, where the Gulf of Oman is, all the way up the Gulf. And the United States is doing a very good job in clearing the mines, and the Iranians keep laying more mines. We have these drones, like aircraft drones, but they go underwater. The Navy has them, and they're doing a very good job in clearing them. But the Iranians are dropping more and more of them to block the Gulf and hurt the West, the United States, and Japan in terms of oil. Now, here's the other thing.
Hold that thought. We're going to be back here in just a moment with John Quirk. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Of course, John is simply making the point that our troops, our ships are over there removing mines from the Persian Gulf, around the Gulf of Oman. Now, ladies and gentlemen, have you ever stopped and wondered why you have mines? This is what you do in wartime. And even though, of course, there's no openly declared war, there is a war being waged. The Americans are sweeping the mines up. The Iranians are dropping more in the way of mines. Of course, the number of their personnel, nuclear scientists have been murdered there in their country. We have our agents over there killing people on a regular basis, both probably America and the Israelis working together. The American people don't understand. The war is already underway. Suddenly we have sanctions against Iran. That was an act of war. So they are dropping mines. We're sweeping the mines. An act of war. Go right ahead, John.
And you see, if they block the Gulf of Oman, it will certainly hurt oil shipments to Japan. To us, I mean, we get a lot of our oil from other places now, but and the Saudis would try to make up for it. But at the same time, it would affect our stock market, our economic recovery. It would really sink the European recession into a greater recession. And the other indication is that the Chinese are not worried about it. They've topped off all their oil. They get oil from a pipeline through Russia. They're getting more and more oil every day from Venezuela. And they've topped off. All their reserves are topped off. Their manufacturing has slowed down, so they don't need as much oil. So they're almost secretly advocating damage to the United States. Russia, Iran, Venezuela, some of the other what we call new non-allied nations, really want to damage the United States. They want us out of that area.
And I think that the important point that John is making, we're not dependent upon that area for oil, but Europe is, and other countries are dependent upon the oil from Iran and from Saudi Arabia and from all those other areas, for their industrial potential. And if that oil were to be cut off, it would plunge Europe into terrible, terrible problems. Because certainly in the past, they were able to get oil from, Europe was able to get oil from Russia. Russia is sending more and more oil to China and less then available to Europe. Go right ahead.
And, you know, see, Iran also insists that all of its nuclear research is for peaceful purposes, but they won't give access to the International Atomic Energy Commission or other people. So they're playing brinkmanship to the ultimate level, almost like the North Koreans. And as you said, they're already in war. I mean, the war has been going on for some time. A few months ago, they tried to kill the Saudi ambassador. They've been behind terrorist attacks against the United States. They're trying to take advantage now with Shia to pursue the Arab Spring radicals and to stir that trouble up. We were hoping to get Iran as a foil against Arab jihadists. Iran is now linking themselves to jihadists because they see it's a way, I think they're wrong, but they see it as a way of damaging the United States and all of the Arab countries. And then they're making a lot of noises about preemptive attack. They're very focused on funding Hezbollah with probably they have 100,000 missiles, rockets really, that target Israel. And the Israelis are getting more and more frustrated with the United States. That's not helping our foreign policy at all. They're getting more and more anxious about a very strong Iran. And I think our whole policy of sanctions and recently our policies of diplomacy are just not working with Iran. And if you study history, going back to World War One or the Franco war in Europe in the 1870s, the more you get into this kind of upsetting the balance of power, the more you have the potential for military conflict. Iran believes that they will survive. They believe that the West would not use nuclear weapons against them. They believe that they eventually will use this brinkmanship to be able to have 3 to 5 nuclear weapons, and by then it'll be too late. And Israel agrees with this. Once they get 3 to 5 weapons, nuclear weapons, they've already got the deployment capabilities with their missiles, is that it'll be too late for anybody to do anything.
But, of course, China has nuclear weapons. Pakistan has nuclear weapons. Israel has nuclear weapons. India has nuclear weapons. Basically, that whole thing is simply just a seething bed waiting for somebody to use a nuclear weapon. And, of course, we hate to think of the possibility of a nuclear war. It's unthinkable. And yet, of course, when you understand there really are people would love to see mass casualties. And why, we'll be back in just a moment with our special guest.
While the storm clouds gather far across the sea, let us swear allegiance to a land that's free. Let us all be grateful for a land so fair, as we raise our voices in a solemn prayer.
Okay, John, you go right ahead there.
Well, you see, in terms of what the United States would, what Israel hopes to accomplish is setting back Iran's missile technology and their nuclear research for weapons. The United States is really in a position only to support Israel. We don't really have any goals there that we don't anticipate. If we have a military action with Iran, there's going to be regime change. As you know, nothing unites a country like a outside aggressor. I mean, if we have a military conflict with Iran, the people would back even their radical mullahs because it's their country. So it's kind of a lose-lose situation with the United States. It's a win-lose situation with Israel, and the Iranians perceive it as a win-win for them and their allies. They would embarrass the United States. They would increase terrorism. They would say to the Arab countries that are doubtful about the United States now for a lot of reasons, the Arab Spring isn't going that great. Jordan could be overthrown. Egypt is run by the Muslim Brotherhood. So the Iranians feel that these Arab countries might tip more towards their way of thinking to push the United States out and have more chaos. So for the Iranians, they're looking at a win-win situation. And they would say they would surely damage Israel with thousands of rockets going into them, even if Hezbollah was wiped out and Israel would be forced to do that. And there's another theory in this whole nuclear chess game. The value of cities like New York and Paris, London, Berlin, Rome, Los Angeles, San Francisco is very high. These are commerce centers, they're manufacturing centers, they're cultural centers. And I don't mean to denigrate Muslim countries, but these type of cities don't exist in those countries. Tehran is not a manufacturing city if it were to be taken out by a nuclear war. This is kind of the thinking of nuclear strategists.
Hold that thought, John. We'll be back in a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess it's John Quirk, and he's basically saying that certainly everything would suggest that something big is going to happen in that part of the country, and that certainly if the Iranians believe that they would be able to benefit is if there is a war there. Now, basically, you're talking somewhere between 50 and 100,000 missiles aimed at Israel. Between 50 and 100,000 missiles, probably closer to 100,000, there is no way, without, of course, divine intervention, that Israel is going to survive. And basically, we're talking about something happening in the fairly near future. We don't know when. We don't know what the timetable is. But suddenly, everything points to the fact that this whole series of events is going to come to a climax in the not-too-distant future. John, you go ahead, pick up the story from there.
Well, the United States, traditionally, when we go to war, we try to get our allies with us, and we try to have UN sanctions or resolutions that give us some legitimacy and justification for going to war. We do have the Saudis on our side. They're getting extremely frustrated that we don't do something. We have Turkey on our side, but they're also moving more to the Islamic camp. Countries in Central Asia are playing all sides against each other, Turkmenistan, Tajikistan. They've got Russians on their back, us on their back, China on their back. They don't know what's going to happen. Our traditional allies that are protected our umbrella, both of, from Oman to all the United Arab Emirates, those are Abu Dhabi and Dubai mainly, up to Qatar, Bahrain, Kuwait, they're extremely nervous, and they are very worried that a dominant Iran would put them down. It's the old Shia-Sunni versus type of aspects. And Iran is targeting through covert action more and more Bahrain. They're behind a lot of the trouble and demonstrations in Bahrain. They're starting more trouble in Iraq, where we have 50,000 troops. Part of the also, one of their theories, one of their Iranian theories, we've talked about their militias and missiles and their fast torpedoes and their foreign policy, but they would love to send their army to slap the Kurds in their face and join up with the Shias in Iraq. And they probably could do it because we only have 50,000 troops there, and the Iranians have an army of 1.5 million on the border. So the Iranians hold a lot of the trump cards, okay, and we have no logistical plans like we did in Iraq. You know, we airlifted our whole military and defeated the Iraqis in 23 days. We airlifted Army, Marines, we put Navy ships, 300 Navy ships, we had airplanes from all of our bases in the area, Diego Garcia, the Seychelles, remember bombers were flying out of Kansas and so on. And we defeated the Iraqis. We logistically are not ready for that. Our men have been on sometimes 2, 3, 4, and 5 deployments. A lot of them are coming back from Afghanistan and coming back from Iraq. And we do not have the boots on the ground to stop a huge Iranian attack. And this is one of the reasons that Mr. Obama has been trying so hard diplomatically. But we keep getting slapped in the face by Iran, and I think we're in a period now, our national security people that work for Mr. Obama in the White House are under some kind of delusion that diplomacy or economic sanctions are going to work. We read in the papers, if you read all the blogs, that the sanctions are starting to work. I don't see the sanctions starting to work. Europe doesn't believe they're starting to work. Iran is avoiding the sanctions. They get things smuggled in from Russia, and they get all kinds of aid from a variety of different countries that are spending money, like Venezuela, on air flights. And they're actually pretty well supplied. I mean, their economy is not doing well, but they're in basically a war footing. So I think every day that we delay in making some kind of decision, I'm not just saying military or supporting Israel, but some kind of possible rapprochement with the Russians, the Chinese, and the Iranians, Iran is getting stronger and stronger, and eventually that's going to be disastrous for certainly Israel and possibly our forces in the area.
Well, do you think that the mainland America would be in any danger at all from suddenly either terrorist attacks or from cruise missiles from passing ships? What are your thoughts? I mean, if we were to actually bomb Iran, using conventional weapons, she could certainly have the right, theoretically, to counterattack. Do you think the average American could withstand seeing even just a few buildings in New York destroyed? We saw what happened when the Twin Towers went down. Is this a possibility that in this war we will not be able to escape any sudden destruction here as we did in World War One and World War Two, and we saw Europe destroyed twice within a little over a generation? But we sat here without any, of course, consequences. What about this next war? Do you think that we will simply be able to escape any problems here in America?
No, I think there's three aspects of that that the Iranians play upon. They know that Americans can't take casualties, that if it's a protracted war, they would score. They're trying to develop something that would sink one of our carriers. There's 5,000 to 6,000 people on a carrier. We've also picked up recent intelligence that Iranian-backed terrorists are trying to seize a cruise ship, and these monsters have a plan not to hold it as hostage, but sink the cruise ship with everybody on board, okay? That's real terrorism. Terrorism does work. It makes people afraid. And then there's rumors that Iranian ships, especially out of Venezuela, cargo and oil ships that are off the 12-mile limit of the West Coast and East Coast, have chemical weapons. This could be a scare tactic that some of our intelligence people, it could be disinformation, but this is starting to come up. What bothers me is the whole coterie of things coming up. Russia's helping them with defensive moves. Their land-based cruise missiles could hit any of our warships. They have fast attack patrol boats. They have these new torpedoes. They have mini submarines. They're planting mines all over. And they fund, through intelligence tactics, a variety of terrorist groups that are working covertly in the Gulf area. So it would be an all-out war. European blogs say that Iranian civilian ships could launch poison gas rockets into the U.S. Now, I don't know if that's true or not. The Japanese try to send balloons over, and a few of them landed in Oregon and Washington and so on. I think there was only a couple casualties. But the Iranians are planning a whole coterie of both offensive and defensive moves, and their bottom line is they want to save their regime. They want to save their religious hierarchy. They think the United States is trying to destroy it. The subset of that is that the Shia are coming into their own after being put down by the Sunnis. Where are the Sunnis now? They run Iraq. The Shia don't like it. The Sunnis run Saudi Arabia, which is a long-term enemy of Iran, and they're friends of the United States, the Saudis. And then, of course, you have Israel. So these things are not good. Plus, All of the dissension in Libya, in Tunisia, possibly Jordan, certainly the Muslim Brotherhood running things in Egypt, make it a very scary scenario.
Well, now, what about the possibility of intermediate-range missiles in Venezuela here on this continent, since Venezuela is closely aligned with Iran? Is that a possibility, and would those be able to reach certainly the southern part of the United States?
Yes, they would. The Iranians, let's talk about what the Iranians are doing in Venezuela. They own a large container fleet. They own a container company. They engineered 4 to 10 different kinds of drones. You can Google Venezuelan drones and see how sophisticated they are. They're building a listening station, and over on the Venezuelan-Colombian border, they're laying concrete for mid-range missiles. They've had delays in doing that. And, of course, the Venezuelans have been helping them with shipping them weapons-grade uranium, which is mined in Venezuela. And Venezuela has issued many Venezuelan passports to Hezbollah and to Iranians there. That's kind of our soft underbelly. Chavez is still very ill. We'll see what happens in the election, October 5th or 6th. That could also be timing of what's going to happen in the Middle East, because Chavez has said that he will not leave office even if he is democratically elected. There are some indications that the opposition may in fact win the election. And Chavez has issued 250,000 Russian machine guns, AK-47s, to these people, the Chavistas that support him. So if he wins democratically and there's no major fraud, things probably will be okay. If he doesn't, there could be chaos in Venezuela and a possible civil war. And it could be time to see what happens in the Middle East. So there's a lot of unanswered things. I think one of the things that America has to be careful of now, we can't be too arrogant about our military superiority and our intelligence superiority as far as technical collection. You know, we listen in on Iranian embassies, we listen in on the mullahs, we collect very good intelligence all over, and our intelligence lately, some of the things I've summarized, are showing that the counterstrike possibilities that Iran is contemplating is a real possibility. Now, whether they send chemical weapons to the United States or they attack Iraq, nobody really knows the myriad of counterstrike possibilities that will actually happen. The United States is confident that we would sink their Navy and their Air Force, but we are not that confident we'd be able to stop their army from invading Iraq or Saudi Arabia.
Well, we're living in very, very uncertain times, John, and I think the average American really doesn't understand the magnitude of what we're up against. Do you?
No, and I think it's such a complicated world because while the Chinese are expanding into Latin America, they control both ends of the Panama Canal, they continue to loan us money, and we go into greater and greater debt, and so it's a conundrum, to use the word. They're helping the Iranians. They're exploiting resources in Africa and Latin America. They're controlling the shipping lanes. They're doing as much possible to, you know, build port facilities in Mexico and control even shipping on the east coast of America, all the way from South Carolina down to Florida. And yet, they covertly do everything they can to damage us in the Pacific. They don't invite us to meetings. They're trying to wean countries away. They're expanding their espionage through native Chinese, whether they're in Thailand or whether they're in Burma or Singapore or any of the other areas. And we have a lot of people that still support us, especially English-speaking countries like Canada, Australia, South Africa to a certain extent, and England, and certainly Europe. But we have a lot of people that are starting to have doubts about the United States. And part of that is also some of the pronouncements that Mr. Obama makes, almost being apologetic about America's position in the world. Now is not a time to show weakness. I'm sure that he's going to give a very demonstrative speech at the UN against Iran, but it's talk. You know, a lot of these countries are losing confidence in the United States. And no one wants to see the United States go into another country and occupy it like we have in Iraq or Afghanistan. The world is kind of united against that. So it puts the United States in a very bad position.
Well, John, I know you're going to be going to Europe here in the next few days. Will you be back here before long? Is this a temporary thing? Or are you going to be moving?
I'm going to Turkey to open up a new national security school, and we're trying to build more bridges with the Turks because they've gone way to the Islamic side, as you probably know. They've replaced a lot of the generals a couple of years ago. They're moving more to the Islamic side, but at the same time, they still are an ally of the United States. They have very bad relations with Israel now, and we need Turkey. Turkey has been very good in putting pressure, a lot more pressure on Syria than the United States has. This is another thing that I don't understand, why the United States is at least not using covert action in Syria. I'm not talking about putting soldiers and things like that in, but Syria is actually getting stronger. They're not getting weaker. Even though there's a civil war, the opposition, I won't say they're starting to lose, but they're running out of ammunition. They don't have missiles that the West and the United States could supply them. And I would think that if Syria were to fall, that would certainly back off Iran to a certain extent. It would back off Hezbollah, but the United States is doing nothing about Syria.
Well, my understanding is that Iran is actively helping Assad in Syria to prevent them from being overthrown.
More and more. There's Iranian and Russian officers on the ground. They're giving them more aid. They're giving them heavy weapons. And we don't need to do that. We need to train the opposition groups, and we need to supply them with some weapons like we did the Mujahideen in Afghanistan. We, you know, Bill Casey at CIA, I knew him well, and he supplied 2,000 mules, and he supplied Stinger missiles, and it defeated the Russians.
Well, of course, my understanding is that we do have some special forces in both Jordan and in Turkey, actually, training the revolutionaries there in Syria. So we are at least to some extent involved with the opposition in Syria, aren't we?
Well, we're involved with CIA officers on the ground in Syria, but they're collecting information. They're not supplying weapons like we've done in many other countries and many other counterinsurgencies.
Well, who is funding? Somebody's got to be funding these the revolutionaries there in Syria. Where's their money coming from and their weapons?
Well, this is the other problem. Now a lot of their money, we believe, is coming from terrorist groups and possibly Al-Qaeda.
I see. But certainly we backed Al-Qaeda in Egypt, Libya, and Tunisia. So, anyway, this is it's a complicated picture, and I think it's so hard for people to see it clearly. We'll be back in just a moment to wrap up tonight's program. John, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program. It's been fascinating. I appreciate getting your thoughts out. Well, you got 3 minutes to finish up.
I think the hope is still a diplomatic breakthrough, not economic sanctions. That could happen. The second part of that is we no longer would be able to control Israel over the next couple of months. They would probably attack on their own. The worst case scenario is that Iran would start it in a preemptive strike because we have treaty obligations with Israel to go to their aid. But I don't think there's a bigger crisis in the world out of 200 countries than what's happening with Iran and the development of nuclear missiles. I think that it could affect us all, either in terms of war or economics. I think that there are some signs that the United States is experiencing somewhat of an economic recovery. A war in that part of the world would probably sink the stock market temporarily. It would sink our recovery. It would push the Europeans that are in very bad shape even more. And it might give sustenance to revolutionary groups in the Muslim world to continue to try to damage the United States. So, and of course, we have our own election coming up, and people are also in the world afraid of what Mr. Romney would do. They see him as an anti-Russian hardliner. And, of course, the conservatives see Mr. Obama as giving in too much and not being successful in diplomacy. So I think the world is in a period of very weak leadership, and this is also historically something that can cause wars.
Well, do you have any thoughts on who's going to win the election?
You know, the Republicans have made so many mistakes, and in my state of Florida, seniors are now starting to believe that Mr. Ryan wants to wipe out Medicare. Why Mr. Romney picked Ryan, I'm sure he thought he was a good man and a good idea, but the perception for seniors, and there's a lot of seniors in Florida, is that he wants to wipe out Medicare. That's
well, basically, if we don't do something, it's going to go bankrupt. We have to do something, and because Ryan's ideas of certainly allowing wealthy people just to have certainly some sort of a warrant and go out and get whatever sort of insurance they want to, increasing the age for retirement. If we don't do something, the elderly are going to lose everything, don't they?
Well, I agree, but, you know, Mr. Kennedy...
Hold that thought for just a moment, and we'll... Well, this is Dr. Stan. John was just talking certainly about the people in Florida where he lives. So many of the elderly think that the Republicans want to wipe out Medicare. Well, ladies and gentlemen, Medicare is bankrupt. It's going to go bankrupt. At least Ryan has some ideas that may very well prolong it or might even be able to keep it going. But you have to make modifications. And the last thing we would want would be to ration health care, because that's what the Obama health bill is all about. Obamacare is rationing health care and killing off the elderly. A parting thought, John, and then we'll let you go.
Well, the other point about Florida is that we thought Mr. Romney would pick a Latino, and the Latinos have a lot to say here. So he could have had a Latino to win Florida, which is key. And as I was saying before, if you look historically at Mr. Obama, the Kennedys really helped him get in, and I think the left-wing media is helping him stay in. They bash Romney every opportunity that they could possibly get. They smear him on this 47%. They smear him on Ryan's Medicare plan. And he's losing ground in Florida. And Florida is a very important state, as I know is Pennsylvania, Iowa, and Ohio. So,
well, it's going to be interesting to see what happens. You have a wonderful and safe trip. God bless. And please get in touch with us as soon as you get back.
Okay, all the best. God bless you.
Bye-bye. Okay, that was John Quirk, and hope you enjoyed the program with him. And if you want to understand what's really going on, remember one thing. The Americans, of course, overthrew the Shah by mobilizing the mullahs back in 1979, and then put our man, a man named Ayatollah Khomeini, in power. The man who replaced him is Ayatollah Khamenei, but of course they're all coming from the same point of view, and everything Iran is doing doesn't make sense in an uncertain world, unless this is all contrived to bring about a war at this time, and I really believe that's what's happening, just as I believe this whole economic contraction is all contrived. There is a timetable, and of course I think we're seeing it unfolding before us today. Well, let me remind you that we're having an all-day conference on the 21st of October. We're bringing in speakers from across America. We're going to be starting at 8:15 in the morning, go to 6 o'clock in the evening. We're going to be serving lunch, so you're going to have your reservation. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. We had 160, 170 people last year. I think hopefully we'll have that number again this year. So come, bring your friends. And people usually come from all across America because they believe in what we're doing. So remember, that's the October the 21st, a little less than a month from now, the Aptos Escape Golf Course. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. Make your reservations and bring your friends. You need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. You need, of course, to get our four tapes of sets on the secret government and listen to the interview with Professor Quigley and my interview with Norman Dodd, who actually headed the only congressional committee ever allowed to investigate the tax-exempt foundations. And if you want to see that interview on DVD, it is in a DVD called The Dangerous Deception. The Dangerous Deception. And I said, and then, of course, if you want to see my interview with Ambassador Earl Smith, very important. He was the American ambassador to Cuba in 1959 when we brought Fidel Castro to power, knowing he was a communist. Now, they're never going to tell you that. You're supposed to think, oh, we didn't know what we were doing. Yes, we do know exactly what we're doing. And you'll hear Ambassador Smith telling how the president knew Fidel was a communist, the State Department knew, the CIA knew, he knew, and of course we brought him to power. Anyway, we installed Fidel Castro in power, and that is, of course, why David Rockefeller's daughters go down regularly to actually visit with Fidel. Fidel comes up to visit with David. That is, of course, in David Rockefeller's memoirs. You can get it from us. And you want to see my DVD, The World Revolution, my interview with Ambassador Smith. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927, our webpage, radioliberty.com, radioliberty.com, where you can listen to us 24 hours a day. Then please pray for Radio Liberty, our provision and protection.
Let us all be grateful for a land so fair. As we raise our voices,
well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Melody Cederstrom. Hi, Melody. How are we doing?
Just fine, Dr. Stan. Thank you.
Well, how are things doing in the gold and the silver business?
Well, we certainly have seen gold and silver trying to take off. We've both seen them trying to go through their resistance level, with gold at $17.75 and silver $35. And last week, Friday, you saw some, again, strange moves in gold and silver, where right after the 11 o'clock hour, you just saw both of them basically drop, particularly silver. And as it was nearing that $35 level, so again, you have major market manipulation, and, you know, they just don't care to hide it anymore. And markets just don't work in that manner. If you have a real market without manipulation, you just don't have these things happening.
Well, I think it's important that people understand that J.P. Morgan is shorting silver. They have phenomenal numbers of silver contracts out. It's all paper manipulation, but they have the billions of dollars that you need to manipulate the market. And the federal government never intervenes, never says to the J.P. Morgan, what you're doing is dishonest. You're not supposed to be manipulating commodity prices, but they are. They own 40% of all the silver that's out there. Go right ahead, Melody.
So we saw some major changes on Friday, and of course there's been pressure on gold and silver this week. We're beginning to see both of those prices moving up a little bit in the aftermarket today. So, but the fundamentals, it doesn't matter if they manipulate. The fundamentals are there for long term. We know where gold and silver are going, and as long as they manipulate, keep the prices lower, it's buying opportunities for folks, because it's better at these levels than when you see it at $3,000 and $3,500 for gold and much higher prices for silver.
And, of course, the tragedy is that usually when it'll get up to $2,000 or $3,000, that's when everybody's frantically buying. I can remember back in about the 1980s, I've forgotten the exact dates, but when, of course, we had that tremendous run-up of gold and silver, and certainly silver was at $50, and gold was pushing $800 or $900 an ounce, and everybody was frantically buying just before the price dropped. Isn't that the human psychology?
Yes, it is. It's human nature to do this, and that is one of the phases of the markets, of a bull market, is when people come in at the end and they will propel that price even higher to where it's at. So, and this time I think it'll be much more severe with people coming in and prices going much higher, only because of what is happening to our economy and what will happen to our purchasing power and what will happen to the U.S. dollar.
Well, certainly the dollar now is the dollar rallied a little bit, didn't it? What's happening to the dollar?
Well, it's still trading in the index. It's trying to move above the 80 level, but it closed a little bit. It was still below into the 79, around the 79.6 area. So still a little bit of pressure on the U.S. dollar. But and again, we see gold prices higher. You also had the markets, the paper markets today, the Dow. They were down about 100 points, but they're still way overpriced.
Well, of course they are. But basically, of course, the thing is that we're on the edge of some cataclysmic events. We don't know what's going to happen, but certainly if there's a war in the Middle East, it would certainly have a tremendous impact on Europe. And, of course, it would have a tremendous impact on our stock market. And basically, of course, it's all manipulated, ladies and gentlemen. You must understand that there are people who manipulate our stock market, and nothing is ever done to them. Because these are the people who control our government. There is a brotherhood of darkness out there, controls both political parties, so there is no effective investigation. Well, you go right ahead, Melody. Certainly is. What is your advice to people at this time?
Well, it's interesting. I was reading articles prior to coming on this program, and so many of these newsletter writers, where they predict gold and silver prices to be so high, but they're only recommending their clients to have like 10% of their portfolios in gold and silver. And my big question is, if they think gold and silver are going to run to much higher prices, and you're going to have all the pressure on the paper, on the paper investments, why would they limit 10%? I can never figure that out. So, folks, it's very important to preserve your purchasing power and make sure 10% of your portfolio of your other investments is what's the point of owning gold and silver. So you need to have a good, strong balance. Take position of, and take a glance at what you're holding in your portfolio. And be active in your investments, and be active in how you diversify into your financial investments. Know what's going on. Know what your financial planner is going, and you tell him what to do. So many times, and more so of late, people have tried to move their money around, and their financial planners have just either refused, or they drag their feet in executing the orders to sell their paper investments. So you really have to stay on top of it.
All right, Sydney, I agree with you that where are people going to put their money, where it's going to be safe in the stock market. Certainly we're having, with the inflation, the loss in the value of our currency, even if you get a 6 or 7% return per year on your stock investments, you're still going farther behind because the value of the dollar is progressively declining. And basically, people have to understand that the fiat money system, money eventually has no value. And this has been tried repeatedly down through the ages. It's never worked, and there's no reason why we would think that it would be going to work today. Fiat money systems are simply a prologue to disaster, and this is exactly what's going on today. Would you agree, Melody?
Absolutely. History repeats itself, and it has certainly been proven time after time that when you have a fiat currency, it loses the value. It has to be replaced, and every country in this world pretty much has a fiat currency. This is why we have currency manipulation throughout the world. This is why you're going to continue to see them lose value, and this is why you're going to see the collapse of the world economic process as we know it today.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Certainly our guest this evening is Melody Cederstrom. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And, you know, basically we have a wonderful welfare state here in America where everybody lives well. Certainly we have 46 million people on food stamps, so nobody goes hungry in America. And basically, of course, then we have welfare for the elderly. We have welfare for many of our major corporations. Certainly our oil companies get large stipends. Our wealthy farmers get large stipends. Everybody's getting lots of money from the federal government. The only trouble with that is that the government is that they run out of money. It's not taking enough money in. It has to borrow money so it can give it to the wealthy oil companies, so it can give it to the wealthy farmers, so it can subsidize people who are retired and getting Medicare and Social Security. And I get Medicare and Social Security, and it really is wonderful. I probably get an equivalent of about $2,000 a month from the government, and so do so many people. But the only problem is we have so many people retiring. 79 million Americans are going to retire in the next 19 years. And, of course, fewer and fewer people coming into the workforce. And right now we've got about two people working for every person retired. We have 56 million people on Social Security now, and we're going to have another 79 million over the next 19 years. Some of them are going to die off, but a lot of them aren't. And pretty soon the trouble with all of these socialist schemes is, you get more and more people getting benefits from the government and fewer people working. And as Margaret Thatcher said so well, the problem with socialism is pretty soon you run out of other people's money to spend. So even if they were to right now double the income tax on every American paying income tax, remember only about 51% of the people pay income tax, but we were to double that. Right now we're getting probably about $1 billion from the income tax and the other $1 trillion, the other $1.1 trillion we take in comes from other corporate taxes and other types of taxes, but just straight income tax, we're probably taking in about $1 trillion. If we have the taxes 50%, we still wouldn't have enough money to actually cover everything we're putting out. If you tax the wealthy, the upper 1% who are now paying 40% of the federal income tax, the upper 1% pays 40% of the federal income tax. If we taxed them 100%, we still couldn't balance the budget. There's not enough money to give away all that money. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Socialism is a sincere, benevolent, idealistic theory, but it just doesn't work. Pretty soon you run out of money. Do you think most people understand that, Melody?
I really don't know. I don't think they do. I don't think they understand, because I think we've been put into a position, many people have, it's very difficult to make ends meet. They're out there. We used to have families where you only had the husband that worked. The wife stayed home. She was a homemaker. She took care of the children. The husband was out working, and he was able to provide. You can't do that anymore. You need two people in a family to work. And as the children get older, they get put to work right away. And so many of the children can't move out on their own anymore. They have to stay at home because they find it very difficult to go out and make a living and provide for themselves. So, no, I don't believe they understand. I think you get to a point where everyone is conditioned to expect it. And so, no, I don't think people really understand what socialism really is.
I think people, we've had a wonderful system. We've provided loans for college students. Anybody who wanted to go to college could go to college. Just borrow the money from the government. And when you get out of college, There are no jobs. You owe $50,000 to $100,000 in loans, and there's no way you're ever going to pay it back. Basically, of course, there's $1 trillion in outstanding student loans, and most of them are never going to be paid back. Certainly, our states now provide pensions for all the retired state employees. They're $1 trillion behind on that. There's no way they can make it up. And they're just going to have to start cutting the pensions for the retired state employees. The same is true for certainly many of our pension funds, federal pension funds, because basically you can't get enough money on interest. It used to be you got 6%, 7%. Of course, they calculate. Suddenly, the federal pension funds are getting a 7.5% return on the dollars they have invested, whereas they're only getting maybe 1 or 2% at the most. And so our federal pension funds are facing insolvency. The whole nation is facing insolvency. 40 cents out of every 43 cents out of every dollar the federal government spends has to be borrowed. And people don't understand. America is bankrupt, not only fiscally, financially, but morally as well. Our number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And Melody, you take up and get your thoughts on what's going on.
People don't realize, you know, they think since they retire that their pension funds can't be cut. But what we don't realize is that all the savings that we have, and even all the cuts that they might have, we're still going to be losing our purchasing power through inflation. People don't seem to understand that with rates so low. I mean, by keeping the money in the bank and the CDs and money markets, people are losing money. They're losing their purchasing power with the rates. And just think, even if... I mean, what is the true rate of inflation today? I mean, we're told by the government that it's 2% or less, or 1.5%, the one that's recorded 2%. We know it's much higher than that. I'm not quite sure where John Williams states it is right at this moment, but it's certainly around much higher than the 2% that they project. So rates would have to go above that in order to stay ahead of inflation.
I think John says it's somewhere between 10 to 11%. Maybe somebody could correct me. I haven't looked at his webpage recently. He was saying it was 11%. Mm-hmm. It may be down just a little bit, 10 to 11%. That's the real rate of inflation, calculated as they traditionally did before they put the liars in charge, to distort that and to distort the way they compile the inflation rate, because they don't want the American people to understand what's going on. They want them to believe what the government says. They don't want them to believe their lying eyes. Look at what gasoline is costing. Look what the price of food has done. Look at what's happening to the price of hardware. Go into a store where you buy your clothing and see what's happened to the price of underwear and of shirts and of trousers and shoes, and you'll see how the prices are skyrocketing up. Go right ahead, Melody.
You're absolutely correct. And in order to justify their 2%, they'll pull out the items that we need, food and oil. And when you really think of the byproducts of oil, I mean, almost everything we use is the byproduct of oil. So it does affect inflation. And so they just adjust, they skew the numbers. And so people are losing their purchasing power. And the only way and the best way to protect against that is by owning gold and silver. It's a great hedge against inflation. You hear arguments against it. But truly, when you look at it and you see what gold has done over the years, it certainly has kept up. And you can use the examples. You can go back over 100 years. You can go back over 50 years. You can go back over 25 years and see how gold has protected folks against inflation.
Well, I think that people certainly, of course, one of the questions we often get from people is, well, but what happens if the government nationalizes gold? What happens if they try to collect the gold as they did back in the 30s? What do you tell people who bring up that issue?
I think confiscation is something important to know about. It's history, and we talk about how history does repeat itself. The important thing is you don't use that information and use it as a fear tactic when you're making, dealers will use it as a fear tactic to push a certain type of product. I think it's important to know, and if it's important for clients to protect against it, there's measures that they can take in order to do so. However, again, what we do at Discount Gold and Silver is we educate on the various coins. I think you need to carry both types of coins to protect yourself and to hedge yourself. You can hedge your own portfolio within gold products. So it's important for folks to know this. So confiscation, government can do anything and everything.
But I would simply point out that in the 1930s, the vast majority of the American people did not turn in their gold. Yes, you could, if you went to your safety deposit box, why they would take the gold out of it. But as far as going into the homes, certainly, there is probably...
No, they're not going to do that.
They're not going to do that. And then, of course, people should be holding both gold and silver, and they ought to be holding platinum. They ought to be holding all sorts of alternative forms of wealth. But the last thing you want to do is be in paper dollars. Now, what about AU coins, the almost uncirculated? Are they considered numismatic? Do they have any numismatic value? Are they more valuable than just a regular old gold coin?
Well, the smaller you go in the size of your coin, the more you pay for your gold, particularly when you're dealing with the older coins like the AUs. The only circulated coin that I like as a small fractional piece are the $5 liberties, the AU $5 liberty. When you deal with the circulated $20 gold pieces and even to some extent the 10, but not as much as the 20, I really don't see any purpose. I usually call those my opinion coins, because where people get into trouble is when they go to sell it back. It's really the opinion of the person who is purchasing it as to place the value on it. People don't have enough experience. They're not experienced enough to know the quality of coin that they're actually receiving from a lot of these dealers. So what I have found when I buy product back where they purchase someplace else, I find that you get a wide range of product within one group of purchase.
Well, hold that thought for just a moment. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Our guest is Melody Cederstrom. America's on the edge of a fiscal cliff. America's on the edge of a fiscal cliff. If you have a question or comment, give us a call, and Melody certainly hopefully can help you with the answers. Go right ahead, Melody.
So the circulated $20 gold pieces, I call them opinions because it is the opinion of the person who's buying it that determines the price, and most people are not experienced enough to know exactly what type of a grade they're getting. And usually the spread between an AU or an extra fine $20 Liberty or St. Gaudens can be only $50, $75 less than a Mint State 61. So if you get a Mint State 61, you're actually getting guaranteed that that coin is what it is. So if you're looking to buy the $20 pieces in a circulated condition, to me at this point, what is the point? There is no point. You have value. People don't seem to understand value anymore, and they don't seem to know how to stretch their dollar the furthest in getting the best value in certain products. I think in the future, I think you're going to have a widespread between the circulated coins and the mint state coins. So in the future, they might be the ones to purchase. But at this point in time, I just don't see the value of trying to save $45 when you have that problem when you go to sell back and you don't know what type of grade that you're actually getting. I have seen people who told me they purchased extra fine coins from dealers, and when we sell them back and we look at them, they've been cleaned, they've been polished, they've been brushed, they've been damaged, so they're damaged, and they get couple hundred dollars less. They'll just get less than melt value on those coins, but yet they paid a higher price. So people have to be very careful, and you have to really know what you're doing when I believe going into those circulated coins. The smaller you go into the coin, the more you pay for the premium. So when you compare an AU $5 Liberty to a Mint State 61 $5 Liberty, it's a significant difference in price. So when you multiply, and they're almost a quarter of an ounce, so if you multiply that out by four, which gives you the same amount of gold in that coin as the $20 gold pieces, there's like a 200 plus saving. So to me, that's a lot of savings. So that is why I like the AU $5 Liberties versus the $20 in a circulating condition.
Well, how about, say, getting an M1, a $20 M1, a $20 gold piece that's M1, rated M1? Would that be a good thing to do? And what's the difference between, Cindy, M1 and some of the other numbers? What do those numbers actually denote?
Well, the mint state coins, to me, it's an easy way to explain it is the quality of the coin. These are uncirculated coins. And the grading system goes from mint state 60 to mint state 70. Well, anything other than the modern issue coins, if you get the older coins in the mint state 67 or 68, they're going to be very, very expensive. Those are truly for coin collectors. You can get the lower grades, mint state 61, mint state 62, mint state 63. Those are the lower grade of the spectrum. And for investment purposes, if people are looking to get the $20 gold pieces, this is where we recommend that they go. You don't want to be a collector. I wouldn't agree to sell a collector coin to people who are looking to preserve their wealth against what is happening, where they're looking to preserve their purchasing power. They can go into the lower grades. They get the additional benefits of protection if people are concerned about confiscation. They get a little bit greater leverage. Because they're not.
Hold that thought. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Suddenly, Melody was just explaining to us about the idea of a mint state coin. And of course, they go from M60 to M70. And then, of course, it depends upon the year of the coin. And some of these coins are very, very valuable. And now, a mint state means it's uncirculated. It hasn't been out there in circulation at all. And of course, basically, some of these coins are very, very valuable, but they're more or less for collectors. And basically, what would some of these coins actually go for? $20 gold coins. Let's say that they're older. What would you call an M65? What would make it a 65 rather than a 67 or 64?
Well, it really is the grading, the quality, the wear on the coin. Explain to my clients, if you can envision a treasury bag of coins, and the coins on the bottom have all the excess weight on top, so you're dealing with a little bit of wear on the high points of the coin. So, I mean, they are graded, and the higher you get in that bag, treasury bag, you have less wear, so they're a little more in pristine condition. And this is not taking into consideration, as you mentioned, the dates. Of course, if you have rare dates and so forth, then you're looking at a little bit different type of a grading and quality of that coin. And again, we use, if someone wants $20 gold pieces, we recommend just the common dates, you know, years that where they were more mass produced, there was more mintage of those coins at that one given year. Those are the ones that we recommend. You don't want to pay excess premium. You don't want to go into the collector grade unless you are a true collector. And there is a difference. And this is what we try to educate to our clients, the differences between the two and why it's important to at least diversify into some of these coins. And again, it's what's suitable. Not everybody needs to have them. It's what's suitable for the client. And we help the client to understand the coin so they can make an informed decision and so they can decide whether they want to have this type of coin or not.
Okay,
to be diversified.
My telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Your pine gold coins or silver coins or anything there in the way of precious metals. It's a good idea to talk to somebody like Melody Cedarstrom who understands this. If you have a question for her, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. But Melody, why don't you tell people how they can get in touch with you and certainly learn about what's going on? Go ahead.
Our telephone number is 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. And our website is dgscoins.com. That's DGS for discount gold, silver, coins, coins.com.
Well, do you put out any sort of a newsletter, or how do you get information to your clients?
Well, they can call us and we can answer all of their questions. They can sign up at the website. We have a weekly newsletter that goes out, and we joined up with some health writers, and they're very, very good health writers. So we combined health and wealth and politics together. And then they can also go to our radio page and listen to our daily radio program.
And how will they get there?
They can go to the website, and we have a radio page. They just need to click on. At 4 o'clock Eastern, we are live, and there's a place they can listen to it on the website. If they just scroll down, then they can listen to the daily archive.
All right, fine. And basically, what is your telephone number?
1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188.
375-4188. Of course, if you are interested in the International Forecaster, are you still taking calls for the International Forecaster?
Yes, we are. Yes, we are. I do specials where we'll include renewals or new subscriptions, and we've also began to include your book, The Brotherhood of Darkness. So.
Well, I appreciate that because I think, you know, basically we sure miss Bob Chapman.
Oh,
he did a wonderful job, and of course he tried to get everything all lined up. So we continue after he was gone, and basically the International Forecaster is still coming, not twice a week, but once a week. And that's about all I can read because it's so much larger than there used to be, and the people they have that his wife has are doing a good job. Well, my telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. If you have a question or comment, we'd love to hear from you. But basically, we're moving into a financial crisis, and most people, I fear, are going to lose most of their savings. You have to be able to plan as the other side does. As Lindsay William told me, when he talked to Ken Fromm, this man who was a member of the Insider, Ken Fromm talked about their currency, and of course, Lindsay said, "What is your currency?" And the answer was gold and silver. We'll be back in a moment here. Give us a call.
Let us swear allegiance to a land that's free. Let us all be grateful for a land so fair. As we raise our voices in a solemn prayer, God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with a light from above. From the mountains to the prairie, to the ocean white with gold, God bless America, my heart beats for. God bless America, land
through the night with a light from above. makes you think of Blake, doesn't it? Makes you think of a lot of things.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Melody Cedarstrom. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And basically, of course, as of the first of the year, we're going to see increases taxes, or we're going to see decreased government spending. Now, the reason this is supposedly going to occur is because the Republicans and the Democrats can't arrive at any solution. And the Republicans want, of course, to keep the tax rate as it is, or even cut taxes more, when, of course, we're having to borrow 43 cents out of every dollar that's spent. The Democrats, of course, want to raise the taxes on the wealthy. And, of course, that is people over $250, $1,000 a year. They want to raise the tax rate from about 36 to 38%, and the Republicans say they will not go along with that. Why can't they come up with some sort of a compromise? Well, because they don't want to. Because they want, of course, to destroy our economy. And when you raise taxes and then you cut government spending, why, the thing that happens is you contract the economy even further. And basically, you have to understand, all of this is calculated in an effort to confuse the American people to think that these things happen, or there's a difference between the Democrats and Republicans, and it's all contrived. At this time in history, they're in the process of destroying the economy of our nation, destroying the value of our currency. They know exactly what they're doing, because their loyalty is not to America, but to this internationalist dream, to lower the living standards in the United States and raise the living standards throughout the world. When you understand that, everything makes sense. If you don't understand that, nothing makes sense. But of course, you're trapped in this system. You're not going to be able to change it. What you're going to have to do is try to preserve something for yourself and your family. Otherwise, you're going to end up with a great number of impoverished people living in this country. They're in the process of intentionally and purposely and maliciously wiping out the middle class by destroying the value of their currency. John Adams, President John Adams, had said over 200 years ago, there's two best ways to destroy a nation. One, by invasion, military invasion, and the other, by destroying the value of the currency. And that's exactly what the people who are involved in this are doing. Believe me, they're not dealing in gold and fiat currency. They have their fortunes invested in gold and silver. They just don't want you to have the ability to do that. Our telephone number again, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. Our guest, of course, is Melody Cedarstrom, and they're talking about the fiscal cliff that we're going over the first of the year if they don't come up with a solution. And that, of course, involves decreased government spending and increased taxes, both of which take money out of the economy. What are your thoughts on that, Melody?
Well, it doesn't matter who gets elected. We're on this path. They can change the face in Washington, but the policies remain the same, and there's no changes. There aren't going to be any changes, as you mentioned. We have the fiat currency. It can be as complicated as people want to make it, and it can be as simple as people want to make it. We have a fiat currency. Our dollar is being destroyed. We have a debt that we can't pay, and we have a day of reckoning. And folks do need to preserve, and we talk about gold and silver, but we can't forget about the other important items, too, like the food and the water. And you have to be prepared in many different ways. And we talk to people about that way, too, how to do it on a more cost-effective manner, because that's what it's all about. Sometimes people don't need to spend thousands and thousands of dollars for food and storage and everything. You can just be a little bit smarter about it, and, you know, we try to help people think about what's suitable for them, but those are very, very important items you need to fix. So we're on this path. And it doesn't matter what they do. It doesn't matter, you know, the fiscal cliff. I figure we already went over the cliff. We just caught that second branch that sticks out. We're hanging on that, and that's not holding very well. But it doesn't matter what they do, and we certainly know we have all these tax breaks that are ready to expire. the additional taxes that people will be paying beginning next year. We have the Obamacare taxes that are set to come into play the following year if you don't have insurance. So they're just taxing us, and people don't have the funds to pay. So doesn't matter what they're not going to cut. They're not going to cut enough, but it's still not what they need to do in order to turn things around. So, you know, this is just fluff that they want to make it seem like they're going to fix things, but they can't, they won't, they don't want to.
And I think people have to understand the miracle of America and why people from all over the world came to America was because here in America, the power of the government was limited, so people could be free and so they could make whatever they wanted to of their own lives. Without government regulation, you could invest, you could come up with ideas. You could certainly do very well, and you could work hard, you'd get ahead. And you had opportunities here you did not have in other countries. But you see, there is a brotherhood of darkness, a small group of people who want to control everything, and they want to destroy America. Why do they want to destroy America? Because America was founded on Christian principles. So first of all, they've infiltrated our seminaries and have changed the teaching, the music, and the message of the Christian church. And now, of course, they're going to wreak terrible havoc here. The thing that they should do is simply step back and let the system collapse and let the banks take tremendous losses. Certainly, this whole idea of QE3, where Ben Bernanke is going to invest $40 billion a month purchasing mortgage bonds. And nobody ever tells the American people who he's going to purchase these mortgage bonds from. Who holds these mortgage bonds and who's going to get the $40 billion a month? Why, it's for our big banks, of course, ladies and gentlemen. It's not for Main Street, not to help the people. It's to help the bankers. They're going to get, and certainly it is, remember that we have six major banks that control 70% of all the financial assets in our country. The other 8,000 banks hold certainly some money, but nothing like these major banks, and because this is where the power is. These are the people who make up the Brotherhood of Darkness. And basically, of course, they're the ones, of course, they're unloading of their faulty mortgage bonds that are worth far less than they're getting for them. But, of course, the Federal Reserve is going to pick up these mortgage bonds, and quantitative easing 3 is all about bailing out the banking system instead of letting it collapse like it should and take their losses. And certainly a lot of people invested there and they lose their money, but far rather that a small part of our country lose their money, then we all lose our country, lose our money, and then we lose our country as well. We're moving into a fascist society. They have the cameras on every corner. They have software so they can listen to what you say on your cell phone. Even when your cell phone is turned off, suddenly they tap all of your regular telephone calls through Project Echelon, Echelon. They have the InfraGuard program, InfraGuard. Look it up on the internet, InfraGuard. What is InfraGuard? That is the informant system the FBI has set up so your next-door neighbor reports everything that you do. And believe me, they've recruited people, foolish people who think they're being patriotic by reporting to what the other people in America are doing. And anybody who says anything critical of the government is immediately reported, and of course that is put into your dossiers that are correlated through the Fusion Centers, F-U-S-I-O-N, F-U-S-I-O-N. Go to the internet and look up Fusion Centers. They're all across the country, and that's where they correlate your dossier, your CIA, your Office of Homeland Security, your DARPA DZA, your FBI dossier. They're all, of course, correlated there. I've seen my FBI dossier page after page after page after page, blacked out in the name of national security. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. If you have a question or comment that would be appropriate for Melody, Melody, certainly, as you talk to people, and I know you talk to a lot of people all the time, people calling you about with questions about gold and silver, are people aware of the fact we're moving rapidly into a police state in what was once the land of the free? and the home of the brave.
Well, many of my clients come to Discount Gold and Silver from programs like yours and you know, from listening to our program, so they're a little more in tune. They listen to alternative news programs, shortwave, so, you know, they are a little familiar with the lead state and where we're headed, and but a lot of the people that have come more from the not-so-alternative media with other advertising that I do, not so much. They don't understand. They might understand and have somewhat of a clue, but people just don't want to accept the problems that we have, because usually when you accept what is going on, you have to make changes, and you have to, and people don't want to change. They want things to continue as is, and one of these days they're not going to have a choice to change. If they're going to be changed, they're going to be forced to change, and it's going to be into something that they don't want. So it's best to get prepared today. But I don't think so. I don't think many of them know the depth, and if they think so, they don't really want to know all the details. They have their lives, they have their children, they have their families, they have their jobs. You know, they have to live some sort of life. They realize when they talk about these situations with other people, they're looked at as some kind of a kook or something. And so they just keep quiet, and perhaps many of them do their own research and do a little more reading from the internet. But many of them just realize you cannot continue to get out of your problems by incurring more debt like we have seen coming from our government.
Well, let's go to, we have Eric calling again from Santa Cruz. Again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Eric, how are you doing?
I'm fine, thanks. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Do you have a question or comment?
Yeah, well, I was just listening to what you guys were saying, and obviously I was very captivated by, you said a lot of things in a short time. But
well, basically, if you want to hear them again, you can go to our website. This program will be posted there, and you can listen to it a couple of times. And but go right ahead, Eric. We have a question or comment.
Sure. So you were talking about a small group of people that were interested in the destruction of America, and my question was of a very practical nature. So say they see out what they so desire, the end of America. Like, what do these people want? What are they going to do when that happens?
Well, basically, basically, these people, of course, have vast holdings overseas. For instance, the Bush family has vast holdings in China. The Bush family has 200,000 acres down in Paraguay. Why do you think they bought 200,000 acres of land in Paraguay? Would you think that would be a good investment? They know what's going to come down the line. And, of course, have you read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness?
I have not.
All right, fine. Let me suggest, if you don't want to buy the book, you can go to my website, radioliberty.com, and then simply scroll down to, videos, and then scroll down videos. The first video there is Brotherhood of Darkness. It's a talk I gave probably 15 years ago, and eventually, of course, somebody saw the talk, and they said, will you put it into a book? And that's how the book came about. I was approached by a publisher, and we actually published the book, Brotherhood of Darkness, which would explain to you about who really runs the world, how it's done, and, of course, what their ultimate goal is. So that's a good place to start. Okay?
Okay, well, I know, and I understand that. I feel, and all due respect, I might not have time, obviously, with this conversation to read your book and catch up with things, but I guess I'm just curious, as I said, a practical sense, like, so what is Bush gonna do, like, when it all collapses down and they're bailing out, like, what are they just gonna move there and then just live out the rest of their lives?
If things get as bad as they anticipate, but you must understand, these people are energized by a desire. They want a one-world government, a one-world financial system. They have an intense hatred of Christianity because there's a strong spiritual component to this, and they want to install a world ruler. This has been a goal going back almost 4,000 years.
And I understand that. I mean, I definitely understand that. When it comes to the religious aspect, I feel like you're very accurate. And I feel like that is a huge component of one of the biggest problems with society in general and all of the free Abrahamic religions. And I guess from that financial standpoint, I'm just trying to wrap my head around. Are they just gonna leave the country, and then what will be the state of America when that happens? What will the rest of the country be doing?
The rest of the country, there will be terrible devastation here. There will be riots in our cities. There will certainly be political uncertainty. There will be mass death. There will be starvation. There will be disease. Melody, how would you address the answer of certainly Eric's question? Do you have anything you'd like to put in?
Well, I think, this is a spiritual battle.
Put into what?
This is a spiritual battle. But I think even from the beginning, there's always been the battle for power, for wealth, for control. And I think you have a group of people and they have trained throughout the hundreds of years to accomplish this. And I believe it's something that has happened how many years ago, Dr. Stan? Hundreds?
Thousands of
thousands
years ago.
Of years.
Eric, do you know anything about the mystery religions? Just suggest here in a few minutes, we can't answer all of your questions. Watch the Brotherhood of Darkness. Start listening to our radio programs. Go to our website. You can read our letters going back certainly over 15, 16 years, a monthly letter that's gone out. Certainly you can watch our DVDs. Many of them are posted up there. You can watch them for nothing. But I've been at this for 50 years. I've been studying this and traveled throughout the world and talked to world leaders for 50 years, and basically we have a pretty good grasp of what's going on. Nothing is what appears to be, and these people are motivated by an intense hatred of everything worthwhile and noble and heroic in the world today. They come from a different perspective. Anyway, just keep listening, Eric. I hope you become a regular listener. And, of course, I've had an awful lot of people who've told me their lives have been transformed. All we can do is hope that you'll listen and feel free to call anytime, okay?
Of course. Cheers. Thank you.
God bless. Okay, that was Eric Elling, and there's lots of good people out there wondering what's really going on. What will these people get out of it? And, of course, these people will be fulfilling this goal. This goal of the ancient mystery religions that go back to antiquity. And what's really interesting, if you haven't read the book, Petrus Romanus, why, of course, Tom Horn brings out the fact that many of these people, over literally hundreds of years, have pointed to the year 2012 as a pivotal year in the unfolding of events. Melody, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
It is hard for people to understand that it is a spiritual battle and there's a battle of power that's been going on for so long, and that there is only a handful of people who truly control everything. And we know ultimately who controls, but it's hard on the different levels for people to understand. So you do have some excellent information, and people really should go to your website and read the book, watch the video. And you do produce so many other great newsletters and information for folks to try to help understand and have them figure it all out. But again, we try to keep things with my clients, again, trying to keep it simple. You've got to preserve your purchasing power and what you have, or they will strip you of it. People talk about confiscation of gold. Folks are confiscating your wealth today as we speak. Everything that you worked hard for, we were taught to work hard, we were taught to save, and some of us have. Certainly there's a group of people out there, a group of folks who went into debt, and they're the ones that are having problems. But if you've worked hard and you saved, you've got to protect your purchasing power, because they will strip you of it. And that is the true confiscation of wealth. They're going to take your pension funds, your savings, your IRAs, everything that you worked hard for. You can do that by purchasing gold and silver. Gold and silver are both very important in your portfolio. Some people have told me, Melody, you just like gold. That's not true. I think silver is very important, and it all comes back to suitability. And that is so, so important when you're putting together your portfolio. And folks say, well, what difference does it make? Well, to some folks, it doesn't make a difference. But when you And it depends, again, what's suitable for you. It does make a difference when you're putting together a portfolio. I don't think people need to own coin stores, but I believe in value and I believe in quality. And that's what we try to do, and that's how we help people.
Well, I appreciate that. And certainly as soon as we get all of our stations back on board, I'm going to have you put out your telephone number and your website again. But right now we have to, we got about 45 seconds before we can get to that. But it's fascinating when you have some people call in, like Eric, who really, of course, have never heard a lot of these things. They know something's wrong, but they can't put it all together. And, of course, the one thing that was interesting is that he was well aware of the spiritual component of this. We've got so many good Christians out across America that know something's wrong, but because their ministers won't tell them and because many of our major Christian publishers have been taken over by the enemies of Christianity, why, of course, most of the books that are published today do not cover the really important issues. We'll be back here in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess this evening has been Melody Cedarstrom. Melody, one more time, I want you to get out your telephone number and your website, and then we'll let you get to bed because I know it's late back there.
Yes, it is. Our telephone number is 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. And the website is dgscoins.com. That's DGS for discount gold, silver, coins. COINS.com.
God bless. Thanks so much, Melody. We'll talk to you real soon.
God bless you too, Dr. Stan. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. Okay, well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time I need to remind our listeners, first of all, that on the 21st of October, that's not 3.5 weeks from now, at the Aptos Seascape Golf Course, we're going to have an all-day conference. We're bringing in speakers from across the country. Program is going to begin at 8:15 in the morning, going to go to 6 in the evening. We're going to be serving lunch, so you have to have reservations, and we're expecting a real good turnout. And so if you'd like to come, get your reservations in. And that's the Aptos Seascape Golf Course. If you're coming from other parts of the country, and we know many people are, why, of course, there are rooms still at the Seacliff Inn or certainly other hotels and motels. So give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And certainly get your reservation. And if you want information on where to stay, hotels, motels, we'll send that along. And because we're going to have Ambassador Henry Cooper there, and he's going to be talking on the very real threat of an electromagnetic pulse attack. And here's a man who has connections at the highest levels of government. He's been to a Bilderberger meeting. He's a personal friend of mine. I think you'll find him a fascinating talker, because he's not only went to one Bilderberg meeting, and that was simply, I think, you know, they bring people in, they size them up, decide whether they're going to put them into the ruling elite. But he was certainly eligible at least to be considered for that. Fascinating individual. You really enjoy Ambassador Cooper, who I consider a friend. And then, of course, we hope that many of you will get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. You'll want to get our talk on the dark secret and on the forbidden secret. And then you'll want to get certainly the 4-CD set on going into geoengineering, 4-CD set going into aspartame, the 4-CD set called The New Order of the Barbarians. And it's basically an interview with Dr. Dunnigan. And Dr. Dunnigan, of course, was a pediatrician practicing in Pittsburgh, who back in 1969 heard a talk given by Dr. Day. And Dr. Day was a member of this elite group that runs the world. And basically, he said, turn off your recorders, don't take notes, and I'm going to tell you what the future holds. And it is the most amazing interviews you've ever heard. And basically, of course, Richard Day told them how they were going to transfer the production of automobiles to Japan, how they were going to create new diseases. Of course, that was before they created the AIDS virus. This was, about 10 years before the first cases of AIDS occurred. That was in 1979. They didn't recognize it until 1981, but they were there in 79. They saw the cases. They just didn't know what they were. And then, of course, Ambassador Cooper, Dr. Day talked about how they had treatments for cancer, and they were going to withhold those treatments for cancer, keep them locked away in the Rockefeller Center headquarters. This is the most fascinating four CD set you'll ever hear. We have so many wonderful CD sets on so many different issues. Go to our website, radioliberty.com, and you can get the list of the tape sets and CD sets and DVDs and videos and books we carry. Get the information. Help us to educate the people. But understand, this is a spiritual battle. And we ask you to pray for America and pray in the name of Jesus Christ and the blood of our Lord. Of course, that he would intervene and try to preserve this country, or at least create and lead a great revival. Because without a revival, I fear that America as a nation is lost. We ask you, of course, to pray for America, to pray for revival, but please pray for Radio Liberty, our provision and our protection.
You're tuned to the Global Star Radio Network. Thanks for listening.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Power Hour Radio Show. Thank you for joining us, caring about your world. Trying to make sense out of whatever's given to us on television, that is if you're still listening. I hope you aren't. I hope you aren't spending that much time. It's so incredibly insane. Literally insane. Well, now we've got a new warning about loose nukes. If we didn't have enough challenges already, and the people weren't already getting numbed to the fear, we've got a problem. Transnistria, we have a problem. That's right. Do you know where Transnistria is? Well, they got loose nukes now.